Well, next on the show, there is a call right now for basic income in Canada. We've been talking about this because of Dauphin, of course, the pilot project for men come back in the 70s, and also hearing about what workers have to say about this and different unions, rather, have to say about this. The call right now is coming from senators, though, churches, also from other anti-poverty groups, and there's a new group adding its voice. Basic Income Canada Youth Network has sent a letter to federal cabinet ministers. Chloe Halpenny is the External Relations Officer and Vice Chair for Basic Income Canada Youth Network, and she's with us this morning from Ottawa to talk about it. Good morning.
Good morning, Marcy. How are you?
I'm well. Why as a young person, are you interested in the idea of basic income across the country?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we're seeing increasingly that youth across the country are coming together to say that this is something that they're absolutely interested in. For me, I came to it during my master's research. I was researching sort of the implications for participants in the Ontario basic income pilot that many of your listeners probably know was, you know, was happening in Ontario up until very recently. And I think, you know, we've seen evidence about sort of the really powerful impacts that a basic income might have in Ontario, as well as you mentioned in Dauphin. But for young people, I think we're finding, you know, situations like unemployment and underemployment, and young people are disproportionately concentrated in precarious work, and issues like student debt and housing and rental markets and all of these things that I think for young people makes basic income a really, really appealing solution.
What did you outline in your letter to the Prime Minister and other members of the federal cabinet?
Yeah, we really echoed a lot of the calls that came from the senator's letter that went out on the 21st of April. And we worked quite closely with Senator Marilyn McFedrin's Youth Council in order to pull this together. So basically, we started the letter by saying, you know, thanking the government for a quite swift and serious kind of consideration of COVID-19. Also thanking them because we really have a government right now that does have sort of an unparalleled commitment to youth. But then turning to that and saying, you know, we're seeing with the Canada Emergency Response Benefit and then as well the Canada Emergency Student Benefit, that even though we're finding these benefits are really easy for people to access, they're higher than social assistance rates. A lot of people are still left out. Folks who are already unemployed, people who are on social assistance, and a minimum crisis income is what we call for in the letter, basically expanding CERB in order to be something like a basic income in the short term. And then we turned and said, you know, but in the longer term, a basic income would be a really excellent solution as well, because so many of these problems, even though COVID-19 is exacerbating them, were there already.
What have you found in terms of geographic differences, especially when it comes to youth and young people, in your conversations across the country? And I know you've had some people from Manitoba, young people taking part online. What would they like basic income to look like?
Yeah, I think that the regional issues that youth will bring up will absolutely be different across the country. I'm thinking of areas that have higher rates of youth unemployment, like in the Atlantic provinces, parts of the country that have higher proportions of Indigenous youth, who we know are disproportionately affected by poverty, you know, provinces that have high percentages of youth in care. I think all of these are things that come into consideration, even the urban and rural divide and what, you know, income situations look like for youth who are in urban versus rural areas. I think all, you know, youth are not a homogenous group. Where they're from is absolutely going to shape what their view of what a basic income is, and that's something that we're still growing as a group and definitely something that we want to be diving into more.
What's your feeling overall? I apologize. I don't know what your age is. I keep calling you a young person.
I'm 24.
24. So I'm just curious, and I only ask because I'm wondering in context of the pandemic, what's your feeling about the future right now, Chloe, when you think about what your hopes were, you know, at 24 as a Canadian, and now that the pandemic's happened, how that shifted things for you?
I think the pandemic has made, you know, a lot of people really both scared and optimistic. I think as a young person, things like climate change scare me a lot. I'm very lucky to be in a position where my employment hasn't really been affected by the pandemic, but I have a lot of friends and a lot of family members who aren't as fortunate as I am. But I think that we've also seen in the context of COVID-19 that when governments work together and you know, take something really seriously, that we have the opportunity to make major changes. The response to COVID-19 and sort of the income insecurity that's caused for so many people, and the government pulling together to sort of pull CERB out and show that we can, you know, get a lot of money out to Canadians who need it really quickly and really effectively, I think is also something to be really optimistic about. So kind of that combination of fear and optimism, I guess.
Thank you so much for your time on CBC Manitoba this morning.
Thank you so much.
That's Chloe Halpenny. She's the External Relations Officer and Vice Chair of the Basic Income Canada Youth Network, another group getting on board to add their thoughts on the need for a basic income in Canada. We reached her in Ottawa this morning. It is 3 minutes to 7 o'clock on 89.3 FM. Let's get into news headlines.